I'm thankful to be here this morning and thankful for the opportunity to stand, and I certainly do desire your prayers. I guess that goes without saying, but I still always say it anyhow. I need your prayers. Brother Harold said he was very nervous, and I thought, uh-oh, because if he's still nervous, as long as he's been among a people called Old Baptists, I ought to be trembling, which I am. We need an objective. I had an objective when I got in my car, or the car I'm renting, and drove this way this morning, didn't you? We had an objective. It wasn't just to get through the morning service and get to lunch. But the objective was, I trust, if we were prayerful before that we started out, that God's name would be honored and glorified, and that our hearts would be lifted up for just a little while. You know, your heart can be lifted up even when you're being reproved and rebuked. The Lord loveth and purgeth every son of whom he loveth. Let me ramble for just a minute. Spent a little over 22 years in the United States Air Force, and one of the last jobs I had was to help in what was called a mobility processing line. When certain events would happen in the world, I was at that time stationed in Holloman Air Force Base, New Mexico, and we had some units which responded to those things. Let's just leave it at that. And they got out of there quick. Sometimes we didn't know what the objective was. I mean, we didn't know what the end objective was, but we knew that what we were supposed to do was do what we'd been trained to do. And to do that until we found out a little bit more. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, that that's really where we are and where we ought to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been trained by the Holy Spirit of God to do those things. When I say trained, I mean led. I'll use the right words. But we've been led to seek after the things of God. And when those things are the most important things to us, then we'll be able to get to that objective eventually. I believe that the church is a worthy objective. And I mean the Old Baptist Church. I appreciate what Elder McGaskey said last night. He said it more than once. I hope those who were here, you heard him. He said, I'm an Old Baptist. And that's worthy to be said, not from the standpoint of comparing ourselves to someone else, but because of what that has stood for and what it's meant. And it's worthy to still be stood for. My great grandfather on my father's mother's side pastored a little church called Cades Cove Primitive Baptist Church in East Tennessee, 47 years. And I don't have much of what he wrote, and I don't have it with me, but I'll quote at it because it was preserved. He said somewhere around the turn of the century, around 1900, when he began to see that there were things happening among the people called Old Baptists that were not good. And he said this, the Lord hath provided for the church all that has been necessary in every age, and sufficient so that she does not need to try to be, and these are my words, try to be contemporary to the present age. Now, stay with me, because I'm not refuting what Brother Harold said. We've been well provided for. When those men who received a phone call about 3 o'clock in the morning at that Air Force base I was telling you about and said, pack your things, get your bag that's already packed, and be down to the flight line in about 2 hours or less, they knew that provision had been made for them to accomplish what they needed to accomplish. They didn't have to worry, well, what are we going to do next? Or what do we need to take? No, they'd already been trained in that. And brothers and sisters, I tell you that I believe we've been trained to accomplish in those objectives that God has given to us. We've been trained. First of all, let me say this. We heard it last night. when we talk about love for our neighbors, We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There you go. Now you say, I wasn't trained to that. Well, the Holy Spirit empowered you to love the brethren. You don't love the brethren just on the fact that we love one another. But we love the brethren because that God Almighty has, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has shed abroad His love in our hearts, and by that then we love one another. So we have what we need. We have what we need. Those things that can become objectives to us, and you just have to bear with me. I ramble all over for a little while. I'm new to the old Baptist. I always said I was an old Baptist, but I was of another flavor for a little while, about 25 years. But when I believe the Lord showed me the church, my heart's desire was to get there as quick as I could. I didn't know how to get there exactly. I didn't know exactly how the Lord would have it. This is not about me, but I'm telling you this as an experience to say to you, brothers and sisters, that as long as we continue and labor in the things that God has given us to do and labor in the way that God has made provision for us in the church to labor, God is still leading His dear little children to see the church of the living God and to desire that above all things in their lives. I had a conversation with a dear elder in our home area, and this has been about 3 years ago, and I told him, I said, I'm too old. You know, it's too late for me to make this change in terms of my age, but I can't do anything else because the Lord has drawn me, shown me the truth of this thing, and He's led me to it. And how dare I not follow the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ in these things? Now, I said all that, brothers and sisters, to tell you this, that I do know that the Lord provides for His church. He provides. Yes, yes, growth comes best from within. But I'll tell you something, there are those, when we simply follow the pattern of the New Testament church, there are still God's dear little children who will see that. They don't understand it when the first time they see it. It's strange. It's foreign. If you've been insulated here among old Baptist people for a long time, you don't have any idea what's going on around in other places. Let me tell you, this is strange and foreign when people see it, when they hear it. The simplicity of it is so foreign to people now. But I want you to know, and I believe you do know, and we know, that the drawing power of the Holy Spirit of God shows us. Brother John said in the last part, verses of the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The church still is drawing. The bride of Christ is still drawing His people to it. And so I believe that what we do need to understand is that God has given us this as a precious gift. She's precious. It's a precious gift. The fact, if you're a member of an old Baptist church, you have been given a gift that far exceeds so many things in this life. I believe that. I hope you do. Brother Paul wrote to Timothy. And Timothy was a young man, you know that. Timothy was, we heard the good brother say already, Brother Paul told him, you're going to have to rebuke them sometimes. But Brother Paul also told Timothy he had what he needed to do that. In the second epistle of Paul to Timothy in the first chapter, I'm just going to get two verses here. Now, Brother Paul says this to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Sounds like a commandment to me, doesn't it? You? There's some things being told Timothy to do. Do these things. I love the action words of God's word. It's full of them. Do these things. He said, hold fast the form of sound words. To hold something fast. I used to, many years ago, I got interested in woodworking and hadn't done it in decades now, but I was very interested in it and interested in the old ways of doing it. No modern tools. I wanted to try the old tools. And there's a thing that's that has different names for it, but you put a piece of wood on a table to work it, and there's a thing called a fast. It's just a piece of metal that slips down into a hole, but the angle of it holds that wood to where it won't move while you're working it. It's held fast there. It's unmovable. That's what Brother Paul is telling here to Timothy when he's saying, hold fast. You have something from which you do not need, and in fact, you must not move from this. Now, brothers and sisters, there's things that maybe we might need to move from. There are traditions of men that have been made really to sound like and look like doctrine if we're not careful. But there are things we dare not move from, that we must hold fast to these things that God has provided for us in the church of this age, just as surely as He did in the last one. And I say this, I believe that what the Bible says, that His church will stand as long as this earth stands until He returns again and delivers up the kingdom. The church is going to be in the earth. I don't know where it's going to be for sure. I'd love to be part of it as long as I'm... What did you say? We which are alive and remain? I'd love to be part of it, wouldn't you? I'd love to think that my children and my grandchildren will still have a place to come where the doctrines of grace are preached and where the love of God is proclaimed and where the simplicity of the free grace of God is given forth to God's little children, that they're able to rejoice in these things. I'd love to think that. And even in those places where everybody's on Social Security, it's still possible that the Lord can still send His little ones there. Now, what we've got to understand is this, that we not be this way. And I'm going to, you don't know any of these people, so I can say this, but I'm going to name their names anyhow. Before I came to the old Baptist, I pastored a little church in Huntsville, Alabama, and we had some folks come. And they were very interested, and they were coming. I could tell they were rejoicing in what they were hearing. We, by the way, our doctrine was the same. Our practices were not exactly right. And we had a couple of folks, members of our little church, that said, you think we ought to let them join? Or they don't even know the doctrines. And I said, would you like me to examine what you knew when you joined? Now listen, I'm not saying that we ought to just let someone, you know, we ought to just say, come on, you don't have to know anything. But I'm saying you don't have to know the finer points of the doctrine, the finer points of the doctrines of election and predestination, all the things we hold dear to. But I think what you do have to understand is that you were a depraved sinner, unable to save or redeem yourself. And by the almighty power of God, He did something for you that you could not do for yourself. You ought to know that at least. You ought not take credit for it yourself. But to know those finer points of doctrine, I said, you know, we'll teach them. That's what we're here for. We've heard that already this morning. We heard it last night. By the way, I loved something that Elder Hughes said, and I'm going to go back and read it again because I ought not to admit this, but it surprised me. I've read this passage of Scripture. I cannot tell you how many times. Isaiah 33. And I've heard the words I want to hear in it. Look upon Zion. I preach from this. The city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. And in my mind, I've stopped right there and I've just gone on. But listen to these words. Here's the promise of God. He said, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. I guess I've seen it there before, but you know, there's a word I heard many years ago. A blind spot has a technical term. It's called a scotoma. And the scotoma is something, it's there, but you just don't see it. Well, that's what this was to me. And my heart leaped last night when I heard him say that. I said, wait a minute. A tabernacle that shall not be taken down. The church of the living God, brothers and sisters, is that tabernacle. She shall not be taken down. Amen. She shall not. Now, how many did you say, Brother Harold? Only 13 of 42 or something like that, whatever the number was. 7 of 42. Some of those tabernacles got taken down, didn't they? But the church didn't. The church of the living God did not get taken down. Oh, brothers and sisters, I understand when we talk about the church. If I was a member here at Bethlehem Church, when I said the church, I'd mean here. I would. When I talk about the church, I mean Grace Primitive Baptist Church in Loudoun, Tennessee. I understand that. But even that can become confusing to us if we're not careful. Because I'll say something that I know has been said here before. You've heard it many different places, but it's worth repeating. This building is not the church.
That's right.
The church has assembled here this morning. Who was the brother outside was talking about the two silver trumpets. one beaten piece of silver made two trumpets, and talking about those two had different purposes. One was a call to the battle, and the other was a call to a solemn assembly. And it caused my heart to rejoice to think that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Brother Paul says, the trump of God shall sound. We're not going to be called to the battle on the resurrection day. We're going to be called to the solemn assembly of the saints of God. But we've been called to a solemn assembly here this morning. That doesn't mean we come in with old grumpy faces. It just means that we understand the solemnity of the things that God has given us and the beauty and the splendor of what He has given to us. My wife tells me many times, you tell too many personal things. She doesn't care about me sharing personal things. She doesn't think that's exactly right from the stand. But I said, I've told her, I don't know anybody else's case. I just know my case. And my case, and I believe the case of every little child of God whom the Lord begins to lead to His church is such that she is the most beautiful thing that person has ever seen. I'll tell you, the church, the old church, as I began to observe her, as I began to see the simplicity of the worship service, I began to hear the voices raised in praise without any assistance from any thing outside the human voice. Oh, it was a drawing I can't even begin to describe to you. Maybe you felt it too. I don't know, but don't ever take it for granted. I'll say that again. I began to be drawn to that, brothers and sisters. It wasn't just the singing now, but the combination of that propriety, I'll say, of the singing of praises unto God and the doctrines which I already loved and had preached for a quarter of a century already began to mesh together, and I saw something, and it was the form of the church. Hold fast the form of sound words, Brother Paul told Timothy. Hold fast to those things. When I say the form, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that I believe that the form which we observe in our worship service, and if I didn't believe this, I don't know what I'd do, to tell you the truth. I used to say I'd look for something else, but this is a last stop, isn't it? I mean, this is it. I'm not condemning other people. I'm just saying that this is the place. This is this form. Is that form which is worthy to be held. This form, I'm not talking about saying, well, now we've got to sing, you know, we're going to sing for 30 minutes, and I understand that. I tell our folks sometimes, it's not a law we have to sing for 30 minutes, but we enjoy singing and we'll sing. We want to do that. And we had to adjust ourselves, by the way, because one of the things I told our little congregation when we desired to be identified as an Old Line Primitive Baptist Church is there are certain things we need to do so that others will look at us and say, they're serious about this. They're not going to say, they're not just saying, well, we're going to come, we'll come on our terms. But they're serious. And I said, maybe they don't matter, maybe they do. I don't know. Singing 30 minutes. We had never sung 30 minutes before in all my lifetime. People didn't know what to do if you went past three songs. But we started doing that. And you know what? Our singing improved. People got enthusiastic about it. They began to rejoice and to get encouraged by it. So we're not going to do away with that anytime soon because it's a joy to us. It's not a duty. It's not a law. It's not a requirement. It's not a form because somebody said, if you're going to be with us, you've got to do this. Nobody ever said that, by the way. But it's a form because it is well-pleasing, I think, to God's people. The form of sound words. I believe, and this was impressed on my mind last night, and I believe I might have even said something to the brethren that was standing here at the front after the service. It ought not to amaze me. I ought not to use the word amazed, but I will. I'm still amazed when I come somewhere I've never been before and hear the same doctrines preached. We didn't get together and agree what we're going to preach on. We didn't get together and say, now you can say this, but you can't say that. You can preach about here over here, but you can't preach of this over here. No. What? Well, then how did it come about? How did it come about? It must be that the Lord has preserved His church. He has preserved the form of sound words. And why has He done it? Well, it's pleasing to Him, for one thing. But what's the mechanism that He's used to do it? Men have held fast to the form of sound words. That's why. They've not done it because, my grandfather was an elder. My father was an elder of other order. But I had a lady tell me one time, she said, I guess it just runs in the family. And I said, God forbid. God forbid that it runs in the family. If that's the only reason to do it, let me turn in my badge. Because I don't have anything. I don't have anything if it's because of tradition or it's because it's handed down from one generation to the next in terms of family ties. But I'll tell you this, I believe it is handed down in terms of the things that God would have His people to do. And when it becomes, when there's young men, I pray and I trust. There's little children here, little boys. Now, let me be specific. Who I trust if the Lord continues and allows His church to stand at this place, some of those little boys will be preaching the gospel one of these days. Now, amen. I don't have anyone specifically in mind. I'm just telling you, there's little fellas sitting under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ who are hearing these things. Some of you brethren know this. Don't ever think little children don't hear what you're saying. When you're preaching, don't you ever think they don't hear what you're saying. I have little folks at home come up to me from time to time, and they'll tell me what I said. You better be careful, too. They'll tell you what you said, and it's good. It's good. Now, those things, when we think about holding fast the form of sound words, it's a keeping. You and I have a trust to keep. We have a trust to keep. And I'm not just talking to the elders either. God's people have a trust to keep. And that is that this, which we trust is so precious to us this morning, will still be there. Amen. For those little children. And we've heard the opposite end of if we don't take it seriously. If we don't understand. By the way, Brother Harold, I don't know where that place is that's got the keep out at the bottom of the hill. There's a lot of, I thought I knew where you were going until you got to the keep out sign. And then I remembered, no, I don't, I've never seen a keep out sign, but it's a trek up there, that's for sure. I used to drive down through Georgia, and if anybody's from Georgia, this is not about Georgia, but I love to travel the back roads. If I can get away from the interstate, I will, if I've got time. And I'd pass by meeting houses, and if they didn't have a sign, and it looked like that the grass hadn't grown up and they were just empty, I said, that's an old Baptist house right there. And then I thought, how sad. How sad that I even recognize it, number one, and that I would understand that somebody apparently is saying, you're not supposed to advertise. You're not supposed to put a sign out there. I told Brother Allen, I suppose, and I don't pretend to be technically savvy, but if I'm going somewhere and I've not been, I'm thankful for the things that are available, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about and some won't. There's a program on a computer called Google Earth. I saw that sign out there from a satellite image on the internet, and I even had the route fixed out how to get here. I knew what the, you know, where the CVS was on the corner, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm thankful you got a sign out there, because I wouldn't have known what this building was if I hadn't seen that sign. I knew what the address was. Here's the point, brothers and sisters. God has given us something which I believe is good. He's given us something which is edifying to ourselves and to the body. He's given us something which is glorifying to Him. That is the truth, the form of sound words, the form of the simple practice of worship in which He's given us to exercise ourselves in, and how that we ought to not say, shh. Let's keep quiet about this. Because here's what this dear sister said when those folks were coming to our little assembly. She said, if we're not careful, there'll be more of them than there are of us. Now, that's the truth. It is sad. It is sad. And I said, let's hope them becomes us then.
Yeah, brother.
I'm glad that the Lord has given us what He's given us. I had scriptures all over the place I was going to go to, but I'm not going to try to do that. I want to talk just for a little bit longer, though, about keeping this. You know, you and I didn't invent this. I know that's a simple statement, but stay with me. Even in the example of the natural creation and what we believe to be natural things, the Bible clearly says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Begins to talk, then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There's the beginning of the working, the form, and to make it into something that you and I would come later on and recognize as something that our eyes can understand what it is. God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man. Now listen, I've heard people say this. Here's how I believe it. To dress it and to keep it. I've heard people say that Adam was supposed to work in the garden. No, I do not believe that. He was going to work outside the garden, that's for sure. That phrase, dress it and to keep it, has nothing to do with removing weeds. Why? There weren't any, that's why. There weren't any weeds. God created it perfect. He furnished it sufficiently to every need that Adam had. And it was their God. God didn't say, you can find it if you can. No, he furnished it and made it sufficient. And there he put the man to dress it and to keep it. I say to you, brothers and sisters, that you and I are still called to dress and keep the church of the living God. That garden of God that he's given us to exercise ourselves in and to eat of every good thing that's been given to us in this church of the living God. There's much more I could say, but I think that's enough. I hope you pray for me that as long as I have my mind about me, and even past that, that I love the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to pray the same for you. I do pray that. I pray that God's people of every age, living in the ages of the world, but also in every age group, would love the church of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we don't have to know the finer points of doctrine to love her. It helps sometimes when we realize what God has done for us, but love the church. Love what she stands for. Love what she's been maintained and held fast by, dressed and kept by God's people. As long as we do that, I say to you that if we don't lose sight of that, we won't have to worry about the church dwindling down. Now, if I had 30 more minutes, I could qualify that statement. I had a fellow one time tell me about, he said, well, now you've got to understand what the, excuse this, I'm not trying to use a big word, but he used it. You've got to understand what the socioeconomic patterns are that we live in today. And you know that we were an agricultural society, and there's no doubt when those 42 churches, and I'm not picking on Arkansas, but you named the number, and were there that they were in little communities where people lived in the little communities, and that's really, they didn't get outside those communities much. I could go along with that somehow, but that's not the reason. That's not the reason. Brothers and sisters, in our part of the country at least, and there's little meeting houses on tops of mountains that people are still going to, but not many. There's other parts of the world where they'll, and I'm not here to preach about that, but in my reading about it, they'll go to great lengths to get to a little shelter that you and I would say, well, it's just too bad. It's too bad to get out today. That's what we have to understand. We all age. We all get to the point where we have physical disabilities. However, we can still pray, can't we?
Amen.
We can still be encouraged. I'm going to close with this, I promise. I don't know the brother and the sister's name who, of a very advanced age, though, came in the door this morning, and I rejoiced in it. And here's what I thought. Don't know them, never seen them before that I know of. Don't know their names yet. I hope to learn them today. And I said to myself, thank you, Lord, for that faithful brother and sister who, though that they were having physical problems of just moving around, came to the house of the Lord. And I dare say because of that, they are also upholding their brothers and their sisters in prayer. Let us have that objective as we've heard here this morning. I pray the Lord will bless you, and that's my prayer for Christ's sake. Thank you for your prayers.
God bless you.